Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. This is your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Catherine Supranot. Welcome again, Catherine.
Thanks, Father.
Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, we give you thanks for this day and for all of the blessings that we anticipate that you give us this day. We ask that you strengthen and renew us through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Catherine, we were talking last time about friendship. And I think with that, really, you know, we were talking about friendship with other disciples and then friendship with non-disciples, people who maybe don't know Christ or who aren't Catholic. It really kind of struck me that, you know, a lot of people in these sort of friendships or just in general, you know, have a fear of evangelization or of witnessing to Christ or bringing Christ into these relationships. And so I thought we might talk a little bit about that. I don't know if your initial thoughts on this sort of fear of evangelization.
Yes, I can speak to it because I've had the fears before. And that that just seems like very rooted in sort of a self-protection, I think, socially. But there's also a piece of it, and this seems primary to me, that we don't assume that people want the gospel. And my eyes were open to that when I was in Hollywood for a game show when I was in the convent. So just picture people seeing a habit walking around Hollywood. So people would come up to us all the time. And what struck me is that pretty much every single person we met was spiritually thirsty. It didn't matter if it was like, you know, the Hollywood PA or the guy dressed up as Spider-Man or whatever. People really wanted something. And their eyes like said it, like, I am thirsty. And I think I interpreted that walking away and thinking about what I saw in their eyes. They were thirsty for someone to see that they had a soul, and they were thirsty for meaning. Like, very base level, even if they couldn't, you know, put it in those words, and maybe they didn't know what they were looking for. But that thirstiness, I think, has opened my eyes to the fact that I place desires and thoughts on people they don't have. They actually maybe want God more than I assume they do.
And, you know, I think coupled with that, or another way to phrase that, is probably the biggest obstacle to evangelization in the life of the church is that we don't think that people need Christ or the gospel. And first of all, I think the antidote to that is to reflect on our own lives and how we need him and how we need to be saved, really. Like, there are plenty of things that we need saved from. But then also, you know, there are some theological issues, which we're not going to go into that, but precisely. But there are, you know, there are various theologies out there that presume that everyone will somehow be saved, or that hell is somehow empty, or, you know, that we have some last chance after death to opt for Christ or something like these faulty theories that really need to be resoundingly rejected and preached against. But, you know, we'll leave that to priests and theologians to do those kind of battles. But the fundamental question, you know, that we is, does this person really need to be saved? And that's something we have to be more cognizant of, more aware of. So.
Well, connected with that, Father, a piece of advice you gave me was so helpful. I just want to repeat it here. Thank the Lord every day for the things he saved you from. Because just noticing how many things in a day that the Lord gives, you know, as Catholics, we believe we're not just once saved, always saved. God is saving us from sin, from all of the inner wounds and things that would keep our freedom from blossoming into surrender to him. And that's the only thing that could make us happy and make us fulfilled. So just going back to that place of how much I need God, I think that's great advice, Father, for seeing that in others.
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me today is Catherine Supranot. So overcoming that fear of evangelization. Of course, it is, and you know, it's connected to the previous part of our conversation about friendship. Is I think evangelization happens 99.9% of the time in existing relationships with people that we know. We might know them very well. We might just know them for a few hours. But there is some relationship with them. And I think it, so in speaking about how to evangelize or how to overcome that fear of evangelization is really looking at our relationships as the place it's going to happen.
Yes, and I think those are the most terrifying ones of all because our hearts are invested. But that's actually what makes it so effective. Paul says to the Thessalonians, "So much did I love you that I not only gave you the gospel, but myself as well." Because the gospel is so personal that when you have your heart invested and on the line, you're risking something. You are uniting yourself to Christ for that person's good in a unique way. But it's so hard because it's a matter of discerning time when you already have a relationship with somebody. And I think that's one of the obstacles that is most difficult when you encounter it.
And, you know, it's... as they say in fishing, you know, you've got to kind of set the hook. If you think the fish is nibbling, you're going to have to let the hook kind of set into their mouth. And I think that's part of that is experience. You know, we see when it's right and when it's not. But, you know, in the end of the day, there's a certain risk that we take, you know, in bringing Christ, that maybe these people will walk away from us, or maybe they won't want a relationship anymore. But it's also that it may be precisely what they need to hear. So over, I think it, to your point, it seems like overcoming a risk is what this is going to entail.
And actually, that risk is one that you take out of love for the other person, too. So really, there's one of two things that could happen. You either love that person in such a way that you contribute toward their eternal salvation and joy forever in heaven. That's one outcome. The other outcome is they walk away from you. But that doesn't necessarily have to be permanent. But even if it is, you risk something for the Lord, and you love that person in a way that they just didn't receive. And so I think it gets down to our own insecurities, but how we deal with rejection from people.
From your own experience, how have you kind of evangelized in these sort of risky situations?
So risky waters, I like to find the seeds of the word in a person's life, which I think that term is usually used to talk about cultures, that the church finds the gospel, how it's expressed in little tiny ways in that culture. We can find the truth in people's lives. So people in my life, there's still some goodness or truth and beauty, some hobbies, some things that they do. And you just need to think about the deeper meaning, like, why are they choosing that hobby? What about that? What are they looking for in that pursuit? And then when you talk about that and you start going to the deeper questions, the why questions, and you start having a meaning conversation, people love to have those, by the way. Mm-hmm. They're very fulfilling relationally. So once you're there, that is the place that I would evangelize. And I start to share my own experience at that point.
Have you had experience where a friendship has ended by bringing Christ into the friendship like that?
I've had a couple where the friend has boomeranged a few times, and I think that's more common than a friend walking away completely.
So, but I mean, the world didn't end in those situations, it appears.
No, my Facebook friends count like a dipped up and down a couple times.
And that's all that matters, isn't it, really? You know, I think, you know, even in our maybe family relationships, there are these sort of evangelization, you know. What are some tips for the conversation, I think? You know, like, I think I've always found that one has to be very attentive and listen to what people are saying. Mm-hmm. Because one, we want to find out where they're coming from. What's the angle, you know? Mm-hmm. And if we are in relationship with them, we're going to probably know a little bit of the backstory. But what are some other little tips that you might give in these sort of final moments together that you would share with our listeners?
Well, one connected to listening, showing somebody else that you perceive their value, which is not just said through words, but it's the attentiveness of your person. And then I really value using direct language to say, I'm only saying this right now. I'm sharing this with you because I care about you, or because this is so important to me, I want you to know me too. So bringing in that personal intimacy level of why I'm sharing this with you. And then also, if there's a little bit of openness, a direct challenge to action that's small and achievable in that moment. Like, let's pray together right now, or can we meet sometime to talk about this in detail? Because sometimes the grace is there in that moment for a response.
Well, you've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been Catherine Supranant. Let's end with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the people that you have placed in our lives. We ask that we love them with your Son's own sacred heart. We love them with your fatherly gaze. We ask, O Lord, that all the world might come to know of the powerful love of Jesus Christ, your Son. We ask this through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And until next time, peace and all good.